song said, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. I like those words, Brother Dan. Hear us when we pray. Sometimes we pray and go before the Lord, and it seems like we have prayed for naught. That He hadn't even heard us. But I'm thankful for those times when we do pray, and it seems like He has responded, and for sure He has. This past week, past several weeks, we've had a friend, brother at the hospital, a professing brother in Christ. And it seems like that the whole family has drawn closer to the Lord since he's been ill. And I'm thankful for that. This past week, one of his main problems, and I wish you would continue to pray for him, is the fact he's not eating very well. They did a major surgery on him. It seems to me like, this is my opinion, that this past week that he was in peril of losing his life. But he seems to be improving now. And I believe that is an answer to prayer. His wife, all of the family, we've prayed for him here. And I'm thankful for the result that we have seen in his body. He's beginning to eat just a little bit, and he seems to be stronger. And we went to see him, I believe it was yesterday, whenever it was, he was even smiling a little. I like to see somebody smile when they're laying on the hospital bed. That's much better than seeing him moan and groan and look like he's perishing. It gives me the idea that he might still be with us for a while. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we do thank you for the occasion of coming to you in prayer. Father, we're just thankful that we are here with you in this place and that you are here with us. Lord, sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But Father, we can give you thanks for all of those times, for all of your blessings. We're thankful for the improvement that we've seen in the face and in the life of our dear brother, Frank. And Father, we're thankful for the report that we've had and heard here even this very day about our pastor there in the Philippines, Father. He's having a good time being your servant. He might have some troubling moments, but Father, we're thankful for what we hear. And we ask you to continue to bless him. We ask you, Father, that he might return to us shortly. And Father, that we just pray that while he's there, that he will accomplish exactly what you would have him to accomplish. Just be with him and bring him home to us shortly. And we pray these things in your name's sake. Amen. I hope for those that I see with their heads bowed that they're praying for me, for me. But you know what? My prayer is, and I didn't say it, but my prayer is that the Lord might be glorified in the reading of and the proclaiming of His Word. My flesh means nothing. It's real easy to say that, but I hope I mean it. The message this morning, Brother Dale's message, he made the statement, but there is coming a day when the champion will be cast into the lake of fire. The champion being the champion of this world, he thinks he's the champion, but he's not the champion because he's not going to win anything. And I'm not doing that against what you said, brother, but I'm saying to proclaim who he is. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about Satan. We're talking about Beelzebub. Whatever name you might have for him. His time is limited. He will soon be cast into the lake of fire. Today we're going to be talking about the pain and suffering of that place called hell. You know that there's more said in the Bible about hell than about heaven? That sounds strange. I haven't counted the different ways. But I had someone else say that recently. The pain and suffering of hell. I also want to read Romans 3 and 18, which Oh, yes. It was read this morning. I like this verse. But it's speaking of the wicked. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Back up to verse 13 and read it. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction or misery are in their sight, in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We see people living in this world, and we may even identify some of them, and we're not striving to do that, but we'll hear about some tragedy in their life. And everything has been going just fine, but you never hear them calling on God. But if you ask them if they know who God is, they'll boldly tell you that they know who God is. But they never are going out to cry out unto Him, to speak of Him in their lifestyle. And they would tell you in so many ways. And I've heard people exclaim that they have no fear of God. tell you right now that I have a fear of God in my life. I desire to be right with Him. I desire to be obedient to Him. In this message, which I have, I've titled Pain and Suffering of Hell. I hope to answer a few questions in the reading of the scripture. Who will go to hell? How long will they be there? Is there any way out of hell? Next question, how awful is that place called hell? What will you do in hell? Some seem to think it's a temporary thing because you can have your kinfolks or you yourself pray and that shortly you'll be able to come out of hell. You cry out for the mercy of God and He'll forgive you and you come out. No such thing. Now I'm going to read a passage here in the book of Romans, chapter 2. And most of the scripture, I'm just going to read them for they answer the questions that we have here before us. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Every word that's in this Bible man will have to answer for. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. What things? Whatsoever things are against the word of God. To me, that eliminates the person and the being that has the idea that he can go about living the life that he desires to live, and he's not going to get by with it. He's going to have to answer to the word of God. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, you're not going to escape the judgment of God. A person that is lost will have to face that judgment. All men will have to face that judgment. But thou shalt escape the judgment of God. The life of the lost man that stands in judgment before God will have to pay the consequences of not being obedient to that word. And verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's been spoken of even this very morning. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render unto every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient countenance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. This life is not over when the body goes into the grave. The lost man has the idea that, and many of them believe this and profess this, that the body, they're annihilated. I'm not here to call out any names of those who believe that the person and the body is annihilated. But there are many that walk the streets out there that act and live like it. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. And I'm speaking of that lost person. And that person that is lost, he will certainly pay the price of his disobedience and his unrighteousness against God. And I continue to the next verse I have here, Matthew 10 and 28. And fear not them which kill the body. That's the reason I chose this particular verse here, because it has the word body in it. You begin to talk to people outside, and the first thing they want to say, well, when I die, I'll be with the Lord. And I'm not saying they won't be, but they need to be right with the Lord. They need to belong to Him. When we that know the Lord depart from this life, we will be with the Lord in heaven. We'll go to be with Him. But let me finish reading verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. And rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. The lost man, that wicked person, that man that does not belong to God, his body and soul will be destroyed in hell. But what is this hell like? That's one of my questions. In Matthew 13 and 42 it reads, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Some of these thoughts will be repeated in the scriptures that we read here, but this one here says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When I see the word gnashing of teeth, I'm thinking that from all of those that maybe you've known throughout in your lifetime, you'll be there next to them and with them. And it'll be like a dog fight. They'll be gnashing their teeth against each other. There'll be a great argument between them. Wailing is a crying out. But they're all crying out and having this gnashing of teeth because they are in a predicament. They're in this furnace of fire. a little bit further over, well, let's go back to the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 25. Some seem to think that this predicament of being in hell is just without the Lord. But this very body that goes into hell will have to pay the price of all the times that they disobeyed God. They'll have to suffer the consequences of the sin that they did while in that body. Sometimes we never hear of that. But I believe that the body will suffer in hell for those that are wicked, for those that don't know Christ. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. What awful words. We can read those words again over in the book of chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That furnace of fire that we read about in the previous verse is not something that's just temporary. It's everlasting. Prepared for the devil and his angels. But the wicked that do not know God, the wicked that are not in obedience with God, will suffer the same agony of this eternal, everlasting fire in this furnace of fire. Verse 42, for I was a hungered and I gave meat and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we do see there, eternal life is something that's everlasting. It's everlasting for the person that belongs to the Lord. It's everlasting for that one that does not belong to the Lord. To the one that doesn't know the Lord, it's punishment, everlasting punishment. In Mark chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 43. Some strange words here. But whatever stands in our way that would keep us from serving the Lord as He commands us to serve Him should be removed from our life. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now, I want you to notice that these words here are the Lord Jesus Christ's words. Jesus himself was speaking. But I want you to notice in verses 43, 44, 45, 46, and 48, he uses similar words all the way through there. Never shall be quenched. This eternal fire and this furnace of fire will never be quenched. It was Jonathan Edwards that said that every day that the lost is in hell, the fire to him grows hotter and hotter. I'm not sure I understand that, and I don't want to find out. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into the life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, Dale, I don't understand what type of worm this is. But to me, it seems like it could be both physical and spiritual. But that this fire is designed for that wicked person, for the person that does not know God as his Savior. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Now that would smart a little bit, wouldn't it? It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. The Lord himself repeatedly restates the fact that hell is an eternal thing. But there are people on the face of this earth today that feels like they can pray themselves out of hell or get their family to pray them out of hell. I've been in several Catholic churches along the way during my lifetime, and when I went to Mexico, there was a Catholic church down there. We went into this Catholic church, and up on this, I don't know whether it's a bulletin board or somewhere up there at the front of the church, there was a plaque, and it was over here. There were candles sitting all around it and everything, and every time they bought a candle, it was to pray for some portion of a relative's body out of hell. Sometimes it was just for his foot. Sometimes it was for an arm or a hand. But it's going to take a whole lot more to get him out of hell, which is impossible. And a relative's prayer. Did I read all of 45? And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. 46. Were there worm. Notice that word there. I'd seen that before. Their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Whatever the circumstances in your life are, it's much better to get rid of it out of your life. Whatever might be keeping you from serving the Lord, whatever might be causing you to turn away from obedience toward Him, verse 48 again. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye reason it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Out of that passage right there, whatever you might see in there, Christ is telling the world, He's telling us, that those that don't belong to Him and that have to go to hell, the fire will never be quenched. He repeated it time after time after time. And the third, let's go to Revelation 14. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. When I say the word brimstone, I think about lava. In the past short time, there's been a volcano erupting in Hawaii. And they showed pictures of it, and it's lava, hot lava flowing down the mountain. And it continued to be hot all along the way. But I personally think that hell will be hotter than that lava, will last longer. It will not be quenched. It says here, in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. When the wicked and that person that does not belong to God goes into hell, God will always know where he is, and he will be paying an eternal price and glorifying the Lord. His presence there indicates to me that he's going to be fully aware of that pain and suffering that that man in hell is going through. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever from that fire. Whatever application you want to put on that, whether it's physical or spiritual, it's going to be rather destructive to that lost man that's there. They ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. I enjoy my rest. And JT, when I go home on Sunday afternoon, I usually go in and take a nap. I see you trying to keep from smiling. They're good. That helps out better. Well, that evening, afternoon nap is just a teaser. Teases my body. I like the all night rest too. But in hell, there won't be any rest. None at all. Not for one night or an afternoon, but throughout eternity there will be no rest. I was on a job one time, and there was a big rush on to get this job finished. And to get it done, I had to work on it all night long and all the next day and all the next night. For several days I had to do that. I had no rest. I didn't like that at all. It was just a couple of days, maybe 2 days. But the lost man, the wicked man, in hell, he will never have any rest. He cannot pay the price. Who worship the beast and the image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those that are not there. Labeled here, these commandments, obedience. and the faith of Jesus. In Revelation 14 and 13, the verse 13, just a little, I'll read it anyway. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. We are blessed, most blessed. We don't even know how many places we are blessed. It might take all of eternity, Brother JT, just for us to figure out where we've been blessed. In all of the different places. We are blessed because we're there with Christ. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now that's a completely different idea, and I'm not going to go there for the time being. But our works will be judged, and our works do follow those that belong to the Lord. Sorry. That was Revelation 14 and 13. I went back above it there. In Revelation 20 and verse 1, we see a scripture that gives us a little more description of this place in hell. It's really quite alarming because it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. And great chain in his hand." Bottomless means it doesn't have a bottom. There's no end to it, to this pit. And there again, I'm thinking of something that the preacher said. There's no end to it. And as he falls into the pit, he continues to fall further and further into it every day. He grows deeper and deeper. And he begins to look and think about, wherein have I gone wrong? And he'll never figure it out. Because he enjoys He enjoyed the sin that he was committing. And a great chain in his hand. And in verse 10 of the same chapter it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." You know, in heaven, in hell, the lost man will not be there alone. The devil's going to be there with you. Many different false prophets will be there with you. Many of those that decided to and proclaimed to live like they wanted to and that they were free to do whatsoever they pleased. But there is no end to this moment. It lasts forever and ever. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it." That's God, by the way. whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I'm in chapter 20, verse 12. And the books were opened. And another book. And JT, I never noticed that before. That looks to me like three books to me, at least. At least. When I get the phone book on my, they drop off this phone book on my front porch. It's real thick. And then the next day somebody comes by and they drop one or by on my porch again. It's for the suburban area. And then the next day or two, there'll be another one come by and for my northeast side of town. Northeast, I believe that's what it is. They drop it off. A number of different books. And the thing about it is, every time I start looking for a name in there or something up, it's incomplete. That's what we're talking about. This book here, these books here, God is a perfect record keeper. They will be perfect in order and complete. Every name that does not belong to Him will be found in His books. Remember what the book is for. 1, 2, 3, at least. I think there are going to be more than three. Okay, that's a good idea. Good thing. We have 66 books here in our hand right here. And JT is saying that all of these 66 books are going to be found there and that we're going to be judged by them. The books will be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. That's what he says. They're going to be judged. Out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now some might say, well, I made a decision for Christ when I was 16 years old and I went down and joined the church and was baptized. So that clears me. I'm okay now. I'm safe. Well, you define that ever how you want to. But this scripture says, according to their works, we could get a big argument going on right there. In verse 13, 20 and 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. That was repeated. According to their works. 20 and 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Oh, you didn't know that you were going to have to die twice. Or three times. Or whatever it might be. In verse 15, we're speaking of those that are lost now. Those that are without Christ. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, what is called the book of life, Joyce? Was cast into the lake of fire. Dale, right here where it says the lake of fire, you used the word lake of fire a couple of times this morning. In the past, I've always considered or thought of the hell and the lake of fire were two different places. Whatever you think, it doesn't really matter. It's eternal. The pain and suffering will not be quenched. It will go on forever and ever. Some say that this lake of fire is just another name for the place called hell. Thank you. That's the way I feel about it. But some people don't understand that. They'll argue with you about that point. And to me, whatever, like I said, whatever the case is, it's eternal. You'll never come out of it. Is it worse? Is the lake of fire worse than the place called hell? It's eternal. One will consume the other. Hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. To me, I see no difference in the attributes and the characteristics of hell and the lake of fire. In Revelation 21 and 8, sort of conclusive here in this verse, that the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Ooh. Speaking about the lost, of course, shall have their part in the lake. That is the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Absolute, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble. Absolute cowards. Cowards. Because we have faith in the Lord. Because He is our hope. He is our only hope. Now, one of the most popular verses about hell is found in the book of Luke, chapter 16. I'm not going to go there at this time. But I hope that every one of us here will read that chapter and look at it carefully. Don't read it for what you might think about it. Read it what the Holy Spirit gives you from it. Let God's Word speak to your heart. My only hope is that I have a blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That I have eternal life in Him. I hope everyone here is like that. But Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 that the Lord had, committed suicide. He died and went to hell, according to my belief and understanding. one of the 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not going to count myself. You can go out here in the street and everybody's convinced that they know the Lord and they're safe with the Lord. Somebody's wrong. You have to belong to the Lord to stay out of hell. I'm going to read one more verse. I've got to read it. Matthew 7, and I'll read it quickly. Matthew 7, and I'll start with verse 19. Brother Jordan used this verse a few weeks back. I've used it before. I want you to remember this verse. 7 and 19. It says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Some say you can't tell whether a person's lost or saved. I'm not going to argue that point with you. The scripture right here says, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Notice the words there. Not everyone that saith unto me. Oh, by the way, when you read that verse over there in chapter 16 of the book of Luke, it speaks. He speaks. In hell. That's proof that the body's there. He speaks. He has feelings. He hears. And everyone, I'll be through in just a minute. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's those that are professing to know the Lord and don't know Him. That's what I'm saying. Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I didn't get that. Let me read that again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We do see two different crowds here. In verse 22, quickly, I'll try to continue. Many will say to me, and then say all of them, Bruce. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not professed, prophesied in thy name? And that includes preachers, by the way, Dale. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Mark this verse in your Bible. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I'll read it again. And then will I profess unto them. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. God manifested in the flesh. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, when the church, professing church, goes before the Lord in judgment day, there are going to be some that hear this dreadful word. Depart from me, I never knew you. How dreadful a day that will be. Verse 24, I'll close with that one. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is the rock right here. God's word is the rock. Then will I profess unto them. That's those that are remaining. That's not those that he didn't know. Those that he knew. And then will I profess unto them. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise person. Which built his house upon a rock. Every Sunday that we come together here and study God's Word, we're building our house upon a rock. Please remember these verses. Please mark them in your Bible. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this time of reading your word. And we pray that we might study it carefully. That, Father, that indeed we will be thankful for that mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we just pray that we might always follow after your word. And we pray that we will never hear those dreadful words that we're speaking of. And dear Heavenly Father, there are many that will go into that place called the lake of fire. We don't want them to go there. We pray that we might be their witness. We pray that we might live the life before them, that they will look out and see us, and that they might strive to be obedient to your word and glorify and honor you. And Father, that you might have mercy upon them. That's all we know to say, Father. We just ask you to have mercy upon them. Each one of us here, and we ask you to forgive us of our many shortcomings. And we pray that we might glorify you this very week as we go out. And we pray these things in your name's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.